So hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Dash Podcast. Let me hit the intro and we'll get right into this. Alright, I see you're watching the thing. Would you mind muting that for me real quick, Rodrigo? Yeah, there we go. That's better. All right, so hey, hi, Mikhail. Anyway, welcome to Friday. It's the next edition of the Dash Podcast. I have with me the one and only Rodrix Digital, or Rodrigo Ambrisi, as he's known as by his former name, the artist formerly known as Rodrigo Ambrisi.
I got upgraded to a fancy name there just for Twitter purposes.
Yeah, you're Mr. Sounds Digital. More cool. Well, you need to get like a Matrix type code tattooed on your arm, like down here. Be like, I'm becoming one with the code. You can be very digital. Like in the beard, by the way. So, how have you been first?
I've been good. So I couldn't see. I think I froze my my screen here, but I can still see on the other monitor there. Things have been good. It's been busy. I've been sitting on a ball for the past 3-4 weeks now. I don't have a chair. I switch between a chair and a ball because, I mean, this type of work now that we do online, engage in network meetings, you know, everything is done from your computer at home. So I've been sitting down for 10-12 hours every day, especially working now on the TV show that's got to go on air in 10 days, counting down already. Mm. Plus we're working on the crypto city in Brazil in a very touristic city. It has a very, very funny, interesting story I can tell you guys later as well. Plus networking to see the best possibilities to bring to the diff. Plus managing, you know, a couple of news reporters and all the video productions that we do in Brazil, like interviewing companies, payment processors, exchange, to basically know what's happening around and which company, each organization is a possibility to partner with Dash, invest, do some networking. So, yeah, we've been busy. We love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's just the way it should be. So, to reminder everyone, I am paywalling Rodrigo. You ask him questions, but you will pay me for the right to do so. This is my right as king. So, first of all, I would love to get into I would love to get into the Dash Investment Foundation. And yes. Something has happened. First, let me. All right. Can you say something really quick? I was changing an audio setting.
1, 2, 1, 2, check. Hello.
All right. Well, anyway, for some reason, only one audio channel is coming through on your side, but it's not to do with you. It's not on your side at all. It's completely on my side. So I don't know I think it's probably too late to get it changed. I can't figure out why it's doing that anyway, but I guess you guys will just have to like play it on computer monitors or whatever without headphones and just you won't even notice. But anyway, I can also probably fix it somewhere else. But anyway, the Dash Investment Foundation has done a bunch of stuff lately. It's been like we start to see everything come together for Dash in certain ways. For example, I think every cool thing that's happened to Dash in the last year or so has all had involvement from the diff in some way. So Dash Direct, of course.
Yes, I agree that way.
Yeah. So Dash Direct definitely has. And then Valkyrie is in the news today because, I mean, first off, Dash Direct is in the news because eBay got added. And so, yeah, you can spend Dash at eBay, 1.25% discount. Fantastic. Now, you have Valkyrie, which, you know, the diff invested in the seed round, and then the valuation has gone up significantly from what I'm told since then. And then they have one of the first Bitcoin ETFs, if not the first. I don't know exactly the timeline because two of them got announced around the same time. But then that's good for Dash as well. You know, all these Dash's investment in that is great. And then a little bit less recently, but still last month or so, the Dash Investment Foundation announced an investment into BitFi, which is a Brazilian company. And the big headline out of that is 1.5 million merchants you can pay with Dash in Brazil. Yay. Okay. So why don't you break this thing down for us? What is BitFi first?
BitFi is what they call a super app. Basically, it's a non-custodial app. You can buy and sell crypto. There is some KYC required because it involves some payment processor. Mm-hmm. They do have other tokens on it already. It's an established app. They opened for business a couple of years ago. They opened also for investments in the beginning of the year. We actually started talking to BitFi in, well, Dash Brazil. We've been watching them. We interviewed them. We brought in the channel in 2019 and 2020. So we knew what they were doing. So when the time came and we noticed the company was going to open for investment, there was already a conversation about adding Dash that we started at Dash Brazil. But definitely the DIF ended up closing the deal and they had Dash, and then the DIF also came with the investment in the app. But yeah. That one took a long time. The negotiations started in February or January. I'm not sure. I think February. So it was a long process, something that actually I'm learning as well. There's so many steps you have to go through to once you want to do an investment and you're international, in this case, based on the Cayman Islands, regarding money wire documentation, plus all the diligence process that we have to do with the company. Brazil has extra regulations that we had to have a law firm involved, because they have to actually sign some documents present in order for the investment to happen. That was one of the reasons we had to look for a law firm there. But for everybody to have an idea, yeah, it took since February to make the announcement now that everything's finally done. The deal was made. It was Dash was added. The investment was paid. I think now they have to work on the instant send aspect of the app. You can actually buy and sell Dash inside, but not through instant send yet. And I'm not sure if it's already working, where you can actually convert your Dash directly to spend on the Cielo, the credit card machine. So basically, the credit card machines from this company called Cielo, they generate a QR code, and then with the BitFi app, you scan and you pay. But it's not going as fast as instant send, because they have to do a lot of integrations. They already had Dash, which was the priority, but now they're gonna do all those other steps whenever their schedule permits.
Yeah, and so the scope of the platform, I guess you could say it's probably like a Coinbase, right? As far as you can use a KYC kind of program, you register, you can buy cryptos with fiat, you can swap them for each other, and then it also has a payment aspect, just kind of like Coinbase Commerce, where you can pay at a merchant, and then it's also like the wallet itself is you can use your cryptos through that. And so, for example, you let's just say you had Dash on your own wallet, your own private keys, all that kind of stuff. You have BitFi, an account and stuff. You load your Dash into your BitFi account, and then you can use that to scan QR codes and spend a whole bunch of merchants. Is that the way the process works?
Yes, that's how the process works. But I think there's a limit as well that you can spend without actually having some sort of a KYC on the app. And the app has other functions as well regarding, I think there's a function follow the trader where you create a social profile, and then you can give tips of what you invest in, how much is your portfolio, and then people with less experience can copy the swaps you're doing inside the app. They have this aspect as well. They're in the process of adding other cryptocurrencies, of raising funds to increase they're this round that what they're doing. They want to expand internationally as well. So as in the DIF perspective, it was an investment into a product that is growing massively in one market, Brazil, and also in the roadmap to extend abroad, and not just focus in Dash, but in several other crypto.
Yeah. And so first off, which merchants are available through this? Like, obviously, the headline is a 1.5 million, But is there like how would one if say like I went to Brazil and I was like, oh, I want to try this thing out. How would I know which ones I could spend it at?
So it's very popular in Brazil at the cashier for them to have two or three types of credit card machines. Credit card machines, there's a whole war happening. There's some
Interesting.
credit card machines which is like half of the size of a cell phone. There's just a keypad, but it reads the SIM card on it that the merchants can get for like 10 payments of $20, something like this. But it's very popular. So Cielo is one of the payment processors. Like it's a credit card company. I don't really know who owns Cielo, but it's a credit card company, and majority of the business have either their own Cielo machine or Cielo is also integrated into other payment processors. So basically, if you see there's a Cielo, you have to actually physically see on that specific merchant. At the machine, they have an option to, instead of charging you credit debits, to generate a QR code. So the machine, the physical machine, the lady there would just press generate QR code. And once that QR code is generated, that is what how BitFi can connect to Cielo. So your dash is automatically liquidated. And the payment spray is the payment is done into a into another token or their stable coin available into the business.
Yeah, and so basically what I would do is I would go there, I'd go to a merchant, see if that little Cielo thing displayed and be like, okay, like, okay, I could guess I can use it here. And so, well, by the way, one time just asked, how much is the limit for no KYC?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I haven't played much with the app because I'm in the US. I'm not in Brazil, but we have some two actually guys that are doing the crypto city now. I asked them to actually do a whole download, try the step by step, the process, make notes, and see how can we, help BitFi make this whole process faster and more usable.
Yeah, so like this is obviously pretty huge because 1.5 million is a lot of people. 1.5 merchants serving many people per merchant is a lot. Do you have any idea statistically how many like point of sale terminal like merchants it's hard to keep up with like a street vendor, for example, but like as far as like physical merchants with a point of sale, like legit merchants, according to whatever, like the government or whatever. How many of those are in Brazil in general? Like in the whole of Brazil? Like is 1.5 million, is that like, I don't know, 10% of them, do you think? Is it half of them?
Oh,
Is
I
it
see.
like, is it like a way less than that? Is it like almost all of them? Like what is your gut feeling? Obviously, if you don't have data behind that, you don't have to, make things up, but.
I don't know the specific number, but I do know Cielo is a very popular credit debit card payment processor in Brazil. So it shouldn't be. I mean, if you're in big cities, it shouldn't be any issue for you to find a place like this. To spend the same thing that lately I had a guy trying the gas station Shell gift card that you can buy on Bitrefill with gas. So you can buy a gift card for Shell gas station with Dash
And
through
that's in Brazil,
Bitrefill,
right?
yeah, in Brazil. But then what you have to do is you have to download the Shell app and then you have to sign up for a program of points and then you add the gift card and you get points and you pay the gas with the points. I mean, it's possible, but there's so many steps through it. But again, it's a gas station gift card that you can purchase with crypto.
Yeah, I mean it's similar in like in the US. So the way I pay for my gas most of the time is one of two ways. Of course, it changes all the time, but one thing I do is I go to Amazon and buy Irving Oil gift cards because Irving Oil is like a local, very popular around the Northeast of the US and Canada, gas station. And so I go buy a physical Irving Oil gift card off of Amazon and use, let's just say, Bitrefill to pay for it at checkout. And so then I get these physical cards that I just like keep in my wallet and I just pull them out, swipe them at the pump. When they're done, I throw them away. And so there's that, but also there's a Walmart close by that has a gas pump. And so I use the Walmart Pay app. I buy Walmart credit, usually with Bitrefill, put it in there, And then I just scanned the QR code at the pump and I paid through that. And they think they give you like 3 cents a gallon off if you use Walmart Pay. So, yeah.
I've done the same through Walmart, but I think Bitrefill is out of Walmart and Sam's Club gift card for a couple of weeks now. But also, you can do the same thing with Kroger. Kroger sometimes have their own gas station, and you can pay gas with their gift card as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the entire struggle of like the living on crypto life is like trying to learn how to do all these kinds of things and stuff. But yeah, so it's a pretty sunny outlook then for adoption in Brazil then. And so the diff just got integrated and got Dash integrated and invested. Is there anything else like a special product or something? Because obviously, like for example, with Valkyrie, there was a Dash Trust that came along with the investment. It wasn't just an investment and stuff. But basically, in addition to now that we're getting greedy and like 1.5 million merchants isn't enough, which, you know, for reference, by the way, El Salvador has only like four times that many people from when I last checked. As so that's like, you know, basically more people, more businesses accept Dash in Brazil than accept Bitcoin in El Salvador already. So that's a pretty interesting thing to think about. But where was I getting off? I got a little sidetracked. But yeah, so what else is part of the deal, or is there any extra co-promotion of Dash with BitFi or anything like that coming up? Any other stuff I might have missed?
No, well, we're going to be promoting them in our social media now, actually, for this project that I'm organizing for the first crypto city. It's a place called São Tomé das Letras. Sam Thomas, actually, if you translate, that's the name of the city. It's a funny story about this city. So we ask BitFi if they want to actually help us organize meetup, you know, sponsor a few meetups or pizza day out, night out. We gotta get some merchants to download the app and try as well and play, maybe do some airdrop. But this city, it's a very small city in the interior and in the center of Brazil, in the state of Minas Gerais. It's a rural area known for the production of milk, cheese, cattle. But this city, about 25, 30 years ago, was all over the news because a group of people were saying there was an alien. They spot an alien over there. And then everybody went to investigate, and then they found out that people were high on mushrooms or something like this. And it was all over the country. And that city became famous for the alien story. So they embraced that. And a lot of people they do, what do you call those, walk through, hikes. They do hikes, and then some artists build a spaceship by the mountain, and then there's some aliens and sculptures. So the city is famous for this now. It's a touristic place where people go to relax, to meditate, to there's a story, there's a cave there, but you ended up in Machu Picchu because it's a secret passage through some energy tunnel. Hey, it's the theme, became the theme of the city. Bruno, the new DCG a member, knew some people over there, and he mentioned to me that it was actually his idea. He mentioned to me that everybody there was a bunch of artists and musicians that are very engaged with crypto. There'll be a good opportunity to have some exposure. So we contact them, and everybody embraced pretty fast. We're actually creating a physical newspaper to be printed in an edition. There's about 50 business accepting Dash there already. We had a team on the ground that went business to business, door to door, explaining there's a new payment system they can start accepting. We gotta do some noise online on YouTube. Maybe there's a talk as well about creating some sort of a touristic weekend immersion in a city where you can go there
Yeah,
right
like
now,
a
so you
Bitcoin
can.
beach or like a New Hampshire kind of thing.
Correct. So you can actually, there's two little small hotels there that you can, not a hotel, what do you call something, on
Hostel
a kind of a
or
hostel. It's
resort?
a resort, yeah, something very simple, more of like a hostel, let's put it this way, that you can pay with Dash. There's about 45 business that you can pay with Dash as well. So we're planning to do bring a couple that doesn't have a lot of experience with crypto and document their experience, you know, going business to business, paying with crypto overnight in the city, walking around. or just trying different ways how to create content online, exposing the crypto experience and not just videos about technical analysis and Bitcoin charts and things like this.
Yeah. So if you, if anyone listens, so first off, all the stuff you're creating, let me know everything because we need to get it amplified through the Dash Marketing Hub. And in particular, where we have a bounty that we're creating specifications for and getting going about creating videos for specifically the BitFi integration in Brazil. So there's a whole thing on that. But then there's also going to be using our social media channels. We're creating, you know, we have a Twitter and LinkedIn right now, but we're creating an Instagram and TikTok, and we have a YouTube that we're going to put someone behind. But we're basically taking all Dash content channels into hyperdrive right now. And we're going to start doing a little bit of a promotion, like a post boosting budget and stuff like that too. Like very small, of course, most of it's organic. And basically, yeah, it's the fuel for all this is the fuel for digital cash to rise is digital cash being used as digital cash, right? And so like we already have, I think it's like an almost like 17 or 20, I don't remember where we're at now, of US states. We have people spending Dash Direct in all of them. And we have more videos on the way soon. And basically, when we take all this overwhelming evidence and content of not only this the user experience being good, but our, the actual like ability to practically use it being good, I think we're really on some, yeah, we're really onto something cool after that.
Yeah, can I share my screen to show something to you guys? The newspaper.
Sure.
There's some spots there. We put some fake ads just so it's basically the structure of how the newspaper will look like. We should actually have 4,000 copies, physical copies printed, where people will be able to actually read about it, and then they can scan the QR code and go directly to videos. So this is a picture of how where the city is, you know, like the touristic place where you can see spot the aliens from up the hill.
That's funny.
Just in case. So we put some those are just pre-ad places where we got to actually see if we have some partners that can help us print more copies in the future. This guy here wearing the Dash shirt, he lives in a city nearby, Victor, and he's the one already running a newspaper, a physical newspaper. Mm-hmm. In the neighborhood of three small cities, and he's the one doing this whole project. We got to have one of the artists, Michele Mama Crypto. Mm-hmm. She's going to do a little training with all the artists, how they can start monetizing with NFT. This city is a place where a lot of artists go as well for meditation, for inspiration, and all that, right? So we have here the places on the map of the city where the businesses are already. This is half of the page, right? So once you print, this is one half, and this is the other half here.
Nice.
The business where they're accepting Dash, we already have a list on the Google Drive with this. See, if you see here, this part here, it's like it's a very traditional city where all the streets are like rock pavement, a big type of rocks. It's a very, I think it's like 450 years old, the city. So it's a cute little place for you to go spend the weekend. This is actually a very famous singer. He was famous during the whole alien invasion that they had there 20 years ago. If you can put it, it was an alien invasion. So this is basically the whole part of the newspaper. So we got to do 4,000 copies in the beginning. And this is to distribute basically for the merchants to educate themselves besides our ground team that went around already and help them download a wallet, secure the 12 wards. We had to hire, not really hire, but we had to get a P2P, someone that could do all the, you know, the liquidation for those people once they start getting paying crypto if they don't want to keep crypto and they need cash. But we had to find a peer-to-peer that would do, you know, small transactions in the beginning because the merchants are not really moving a lot of money yet. But we want to have the whole plan in place, you know, giving all this support for the merchants once they receive what can do they can do with Dash. The most we're saying is basically if you don't need this money right now, you can actually use for yourself as a sort of a store of value. Yeah. But if you want to liquidate right away, you can contact this person. at this time, even though BitFi is also another possibility. They can start liquidating, but then you have to onboard the merchant to download another app, doing KYC and synchronize the bank account. There'll be more. So we have to go step by step, you know, in this process. But the main goal is to create this as a touristic destination where people will be able to go there for the weekend and really experiment crypto, experience the crypto experience like I've done in Venezuela and other places, you know, paying everything with Dash. And another thing that now came up that we might organize in a near future, we have a couple, they have a Volkswagen bus, and they're going to go to this city as well. We got to record one episode of their experience, and then from there they will take off this on this Volkswagen bus and go to other areas of Brazil, bringing crypto awareness, you know, spending Dash here and there, and then we gotta show the difficulties and the advantages of this.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we're creating another crypto hotspot, and that's really what started all of these great adoption movements. I mean,
yeah,
the crypto adoption movement, I believe, has its roots here in New Hampshire, since that's where, you know, Gavin Andreessen came up and was on Free Talk Live and basically got a, you know, millions of people around the US with access to that information. Roger Ver heard about Bitcoin on Free Talk Live and he got into it, and he seeded a lot of stuff, you know, Eric Voorhees and Charlie Shrem and Vitalik Buterin and stuff have all been to our local New Hampshire crypto meetups in the early days and then went on to do cool stuff. And so that was like one of the first, you know, and then you add other areas, like, you know, more recently people talk about the Bitcoin Beach in El Salvador, and I don't know if you would have the whole El Salvador situation the way it is today without such a location, you know, it's like without that proof of concept right there. And then of course you have Venezuela as the proof of concept for Dash as well. We have, like, you know, all kinds of little hotspots that then you put down the hotspots and then the rest fills out around it.
I think that's the game now. It's to see which little city, little corner, little beach will, you know, organize themselves, their own community, and start say, hey, we can bring tourists, bring business, be connected to this worldwide movement, and all we have to do is download a wallet. Regarding El Salvador, actually, I'm going to El Salvador a week before the LabitConf, and if I'm not wrong, I think a Dash Core team was looking into also sponsoring and being present during this event. It's a huge, it's the largest event in Latin America. I think CZ from Binance is gonna be there, Vitalik, all the big names in crypto are gonna be in El Salvador for this event. I'm gonna actually arrive a week before to start shooting another documentary there. Let's call it El Salvador and the Cryptocurrency Revolution. So I'm gonna go to the beach, to the crypto beach there, see what's happening, download some wallets that they're using, experience to see how it's working, interview some people, and put it together, this experience of plus I'm gonna be there at the LabitConf event as well, and hopefully Core Team will be there so we can get some interviews and put it together into a compilation and another video to show people around the world, you know, what's happening, what those cultures are happening. As I tell people every day, you're not gonna learn this in school or university or on CNN. You gotta learn on YouTube.
Wow,
going around the world, you know, making crazy.
CNN, methods. To their credit, did cover in 2018 or 19 that you can live off of Dash in New Hampshire.
That's right.
I personally know that. But other than that, it's all fake news. So, yeah, I mean, definitely understand that. It's now it all. That reminds me, last weekend we had a thing called Dash Fest here in New Hampshire, and I thought it was going to be, at first I was like, oh, let's do a big conference or something, but then with like COVID and everything and people not being able to travel and stuff, I'm like, I'll make a smaller event. So we did a little meetup at a brewery that takes Dash. 60 plus people were there, which is nice, and 60 plus people there spending Dash and stuff. It was pretty great. Yeah. So I'll have some footage out on that pretty soon. Shout out to Naomi Rockwell, who helped film all that stuff, because I was too busy running the thing to do anything. But yeah, so we have these sort of like flashpoints happening, and it's easier than ever to live off of crypto with spending, specifically Dash. Now, the thing that separates me from other people, right, is literally what changed for me in 2015. At the end of 2015, I said, I'm going to only accept work that will pay me in Bitcoin. And then, of course, it turned into Dash within a year. But that was just my thing. If I don't get paid in crypto, I'm not taking the job. And so then that's what made this whole like living unbanked on crypto, woo, like that whole thing is the precondition of you got to earn it and have it first. So if you can spend Dash all over Brazil now to a certain extent and in specific flashpoints, right? What is going to drive? The answer is what's going to drive consumer demand is consumers having Dash to spend in the first place, earning it, slash living off of it or whatever. Because if they're not earning it, they're probably just going to have a stash of stuff and they're probably not going to spend it. So, what are the best options available to Brazilians today on earning Dash that you know of? And there might be maybe not very many options. And what are some kind of ways you could see that happening, closing that loop?
For earning Dash, I don't think there's any platform like, for example, like Bitwage. I don't know if you're familiar with Bitwage
Yes.
that could pay people directly in Dash. That's something that I had Bitwage on my list for a while, but I haven't had time to, go and look for something on this scope, which I think it's time to revise that because it's always a possibility. So we're trying to do this now in this city, São Tomé. Where we gotta educate the people in first of all how to receive crypto, how to receive Dash as payments, and we gotta try to bring tourists to this area. One of the plans is to organize with all the exchange and payment processors that I have in contact here that I have in our network to see if we can organize a massive plan in Brazil where each exchange, each payment processor will do some sort of a raffle. A competition, and they would pay for the expense for two of their clients or two of the employees to spend a Saturday and Sunday in this city, spending everything in crypto. So that's one way that we want to see if we can bring at least 100 people that they're getting paid by whatever to experience this. And this is going to create a whole new movement where at least on that city, on the local community, you'll see, a lot of crypto, a lot of Dash circulating. In this case, it won't be just Dash because some payment processor might choose another token, but that's not the point. The point is we want to see if we can organize this. From there, there's talks to a digital bank, the one we had a partnership as well, Ras, where you have the Dash debit card. I think now they are bringing all the technology in-house. Apparently, the digital bank was one technology. The credit debit card is another technology they had to rent from another company, but they're bringing this in-house and doing some updates. But there is already a talk with them to see how we can create a system where people can get paid in crypto directly, in Dash directly, through those bank accounts. But then they will have to actually run to see where they gotta get this liquidity to be able to receive in fiat or other crypto and convert it and pay everybody with Dash right away.
Yeah. Well,
And
before.
I got my money here talking about money. It's like my reminder from Venezuela, my stack of
Yeah.
75 cents.
I still have some bolivares in a container over here somewhere that
And
my
I
girlfriend
got my
moved them
new
off the
one from the
desk.
collection, my
Yeah, of course, it's
$10.
Zimbabwe. $10 trillion. Yeah. So before we move on, I just Pedro, who was on the podcast right before, he said, "Hey, oh, just thank Rodrigo for all the effort from me. Thank you."
Oh,
So
thank you, guys. Thank you.
he wanted to say that. Well, that's cool. Yeah. So how we're talking about like one thing I've noticed, and as far as like the crypto world, despite it being a global phenomenon, there are some sort of jurisdictional elements to it, whereas some coins are big in some countries rather than others, for example. And so the general crypto mojo, right, in it doesn't seem like Dash is at the top of mind awareness for everyone in like the general crypto investor kind of world. And of course, in the US, you can spend it via Dash Direct at a lot of places, and we're really elevating that presence there, which is nice. But, you know, basically Dash Core Group in particular, but not just Dash Core Group, but the entirety of the Dash ecosystem for the most part has been heavily focused on Latin America because of this whole thing of, well, what is crypto good for? What is a instant cheap settled payments? What is that good for? And so obviously people in developing countries, but specifically Latin America, a huge remittance market, you know, all that kind of stuff. So in Latin America in general, because obviously, you know, there's a big focus on there, what is the, I guess, reputation of and presence of Dash like these days amongst like the average crypto person?
Well, in Brazil specifically, Dash, the name, the brand is still very relevant. It's very known. Mm-hmm. For all the efforts that we did in the past 3-4 years with Dash Brazil. I think from we have to divide into a lot of categories now, because you know there's a whole DeFi movement. Yeah. So for investor perspective, you know, someone that comes in with $100 and can put in Dogecoin or mm-hmm. Dash on a share master node, mm-hmm. or can take this $100 and put on a liquidity pool. Providing liquidity in some pancake swap, sushi swap, whatever swap is on DeFi, those small investors are going to those new hypes because, you know, they're paying 20, 30, 40, 50, some pool of liquidity farming, yield farming, are paying sometimes 100% yield. Mm-hmm. And a decentralized masternode, a share masternode, it's 6% a year. So yeah. For this investor perspective, you know, even though Masternode has nothing to do with DeFi, you know, regarding governance and investment, the small investor doesn't care about that. He wants to double, triple his money as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So I noticed there's a higher focus now from a core team, and Valkyrie is one of example, a Dash Trust, maybe in the future a Dash ETF, either in US or any other country, but that's basically the tunnel where the big chunk of money will come in into the project. And I think now as well, core team will be at Money 2020 Vegas. It's an mm-hmm. event that costs $3,600 to get in. And yeah. It's about banking system and payment system. So Dash has a seat. I don't think mm-hmm. there'll be any other cryptocurrency project in that event exposed like with the booth. Mm-hmm. You know, so Dash is the little guy on a event of that magnitude, which I think it's important because the big chunk of money through ETF and through funds and to trusts will come, and Dash is already building the doors for this money to come through those channels. I think looking for this small investor who has $100 and who wanted to triple or quadruple his money, those guys are going to Shiba Inu, a project with one quadrillion tokens. People don't realize that they have 1 quadrillion tokens available. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the battle. And I think it's important to focus where the money is. And the money is on Wall Street. It's on ETFs. It's on funds and pension funds. And if you create a door that they can open and automatically see a Dash fund, a Dash trust, a Dash ETF, you know, mm-hmm. for a big investor who wants to allocate 1% of $1 billion, can do this easily through those doors. And I think Valkyrie is one of those examples. You know, there's a huge hype on the first Bitcoin ETF, and you know, the Dash Investment Foundation was there from the seed round. We got it before Litecoin, and I think Polkadot also invested on Valkyrie mm-hmm. In other rounds further. So it's hard to maintain a brand relevant. I was talking to one of the guys yesterday in another podcast. 2016-17, I could tell out of 5,000 cryptocurrency projects, I could actually tell the logos and their names. Four years later in this cycle, we have, 50, 60,000 tokens?
I don't even know.
This DeFi platform, there's even another layer of another hundreds of thousands. In 4 years from now, there will be millions of tokens, projects, coins I mean, we are facing the decentralization. It's happening faster than we're expecting. And we're trying several ways to maintain the name, the brand relevant, the usability, and also creating doors where, or a pipe, a direct pipe where, you know, a big chunk of the money can flow into Dash in a blink.
Yeah. That's something that's, it's always interesting, and it's always something we have to be careful of, because, you know, obviously, you know, not investment advice is like one of the things that all the crypto YouTubers always say for good reason. And also, you know, Dash is meant to be used and not necessarily as a, just a pump and dump kind of thing. Correct. And it's also like, you want to, it's like, you're in it for the tech. You want to say like, what can this stuff do? And it's, but at the same time, like, no one wants something that doesn't go up in value kind of thing. And Dash does go up in value, but just other people are like, oh, I get more gains over here. And so there's a couple things to keep in mind, I would say, is first off, pretty soon you got Thorch. So Thorchain is up again. Thorchain has been online with all tokens that they currently support as of like yesterday, I think, when Ethereum came up. And so a lot of people, while there are caps right now, caps at liquidity, people can make sometimes like I have like $50 of like Bitcoin Cash on there right now that I'm like, you know, LPing just to providing liquidity just to test it out. And it's like 30% APY, which is pretty insane for just putting Bitcoin Cash. Of course, it gets split into half and half of the Rune token and stuff like that. But still, for the end user experience, you put in Bitcoin Cash into this savings account thing, and then you get 30% on it per year. Of course, when the caps are raised next year at some point, when there's, or they're eliminated when ChaosNet is over and it's like full on regular full release Thorchain, I guess, I expect those numbers to go significantly down, because then everyone can put in. But it's still like, let's just say Bitcoin Cash 5%. Let's just be really modest. Say you could get 5%. And now, of course, when Dash is on there, you could do that as well for anyone. However, because any money that's in Dash, a liquidity providing Dash, has the option to also be in a masternode, that's going to always make it more profitable relative to demand for Dash than for other coins, because you're splitting between like the big masternode reward and the LP there. But then... some people also, DeFi is complicated, right? People say, oh yeah, I want to like get all my gains. But like, if you're not into crypto, like I'm just barely, like I've just used Uniswap a few times. I'm not that savvy, and I've been in here forever. Like imagine new people. It's like, what if you tell them just buy Dash, go here, deposit in Thorchain, and you get money. And then you can spend it on things. You don't have to say, well, what am I going to swap it for? And I'm going to move it to my Coinbase and swap it here and withdraw to my bank account. If it just, no. Put in Thorchain, you make money. Pop it over into your wallet. Spend via Dash Direct, spend via BitFi, spend via whatever. That becomes a lot of an easier thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know how it would be possible if you're a masternode owner to provide liquidity with your masternodes on Thorchain, if it would be possible or not technically. But once those the liquidity pool opens, once we have Dash integrated with which, by the way, the DIF already purchased some Rune to create pairs for liquidity in the beginning.
And Rune is pretty far up too since then, which is nice.
Yeah. I think it went up 30% last night once they finished synchronizing. I've been paying attention on Thorchain. I think it's a fantastic project as well, because it's a full decentralized exchange without wrapping tokens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the native token you're swapping through their vaulting system. And you're right. I think people who has, you know, Litecoin, Ethereum, you know, and want to buy something with 2-5% discount at Lowe's, Best Buy, they would just swap and get Dash to use the Dash Direct. And in 2-3 seconds, they do a swap. In 2-3 seconds, they buy a gift card. And you have a full decentralized payment system through an exchange, bypassing governments and banks, fully working. Maybe that the value of Dash won't go up because people are not buying to purchase, but maybe the value of Dash will go up because the amount of transactions that are going through spikes a lot. The network can handle the fast instant transaction, And this can raise some eyebrows to some large investor to say, hey, how come a little project like this is moving hundreds of thousands of transactions per second? They already have a pipe open for me to buy $1 billion through an ETF, a fund or something. So I think that's looking through a bigger picture. That's how I see Dash can play a big role on the invest on the what you call a traditional investment side once they want to come in with this chunk of money. And the usability is there because any other user can, even if they don't own Dash, they can just purchase Dash to purchase something right away with a couple discount, a couple percent discount on a store. If you're buying something in the US or in a Best Buy or Lowe's or Home Depot, you're doing a house and you're buying $5,000 and you have the chance to get 5% off on everything, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. I would like to point out, and one time did have a question here I'm going to read off that unfortunately we skipped over. But before that, I would like to point out that it's been the constant thing of like crypto started as peer-to-peer digital cash, peer-to-peer electronic cash system. It's in the white paper. That's what it was created for, is digital money anyone can use without permission or centralized intermediaries that is not inflated to death. And at some point, people started building off of that concept. And at some point, people started to speculate on this new technology. Like Bitcoin in 2013, most of its value is probably earned the hard way. And then you started to get bits of speculation. By the time you got into the 2016, 2017, a lot of projects had almost no like real, even if the technology was solid, like Dash in 2017, if you look at the number of transactions and stuff and how useful the technology was practically, it was almost like 95% speculation in 2017. Yeah. I mean, just to be really honest, it's that doesn't mean it has no value because Dash is a great project, but it just is all speculation. And so, but then at some point, it's all speculation based on real value, like real utility, speculation that'll be used. We entered into a weird stage now when people want crypto, not just they're like, oh, I'm going to buy some because this is so useful and it'll be used a lot someday. They're skipping that step. They're just like, I'm going to buy because I get money today. And the like Hex, the point of the project, I don't want to talk too much shit about Hex, but like the point of the project is to give you more money and that's it. And so we're in this weird time and a lot of people are saying, well, who cares if you can spend it? You know, like a lot of times you have like a Twitter troll who's just like, you know, when you're talking about, oh, you can use Dash for this and that, they're like, well, yeah, well, here's the Dash BTC chart long term. Ha ha. And they're like, that didn't counteract anything I just said. It's useful for digital cash today. You don't need a bank account. I'm living proof to live off this stuff. But here's the thing, though. With the way economics works and prices, the way free markets work is all value, as our good old friend Chuck Williams loves to say, all value is belief. And all money in pricing is information on what people value. And so all that ends up hitting prices and profit at some point. So for example, if let's say Ripple was trying to be digital cash, but they were centralized KYC digital cash, and Dash is not centralized, not KYC digital cash. If in the beginning, there might be a situation where it's like, well, the market value of those things is equal because people don't really care about KYC, but over a long term and enough circumstances change where you start to have abilities to spend your own money. Like it starts to be censored. People are going to want something that doesn't, and that's going to start pushing to the price. But as I should just wrap up on this Dash thing, sorry for the super long ramble, is if you can spend Dash, it's like, it doesn't matter if no one holds Dash at all. If literally no one holds it, if everyone has all their money in other coins, because if they swap it into Dash through the Orchain, let's just say, you swap it into Dash to spend it, even if that's it, first off, every time someone buys it to spend it, that pushes the price up. But also with a lot of transaction volume going through Thorchain, that makes it more attractive to buy Dash just to provide liquidity because you get more fees, and then people are buying Dash because number go up. So even though you focus on utility, that feeds back into number go up if you're successful enough at that.
I think we have to be realistic regarding, because now we know how to count the seasons. We know what are the Bitcoin seasons, right? Everything runs around the halving. So we are in a bull season right now. The next 3, maybe 6 months, the price are going up. Like there's no tomorrow. There's a lot of greed happening. And the same thing happened. But this cycle now, this season, and this cycle, it's 2017 on steroids already.
Yeah.
And we have to be realistic. Dash came from what in 2017? $9 to 1,500? That wasn't real. You know, that was a huge pump. It was Masternode was the word of the moment in 2017. Nobody knew what Masternode was. It was awesome. Yeah, Masternode. Right? There's another, 10,000 competitors to Masternode now.
Yeah, but back then you buy a Masternode and you're set for life.
Correct. So that reality changed. That reality was real for what, 3 months, six months maybe? So we have to be realistic here. The same thing now, 2021. There's hundreds of projects that are going, 10, 20, 30,000% in the past 12 months. Can they deliver? Dash has been, since 2017, since the all-time high. 2018, 19, the price dropped, but still, instant send, chain locks, a lot of new technology was implemented. Now the DIF was also a huge achievement for the network, because it's bringing value to Dash in a different from a different angle. But we have to be realistic. I don't think those projects that are going 10,000% this season are gonna deliver in 6 months. So they have to be patient, and we gotta see a lot of projects that are on the top now, a fade away like we saw. We haven't heard any more from Nanksen. What other project was Monero? Not Monero, but Zcash as well. That dropped on the coin market cap, because there's more. Shiba Inu has $8 billion on it. I mean, geez, can you believe that? So we are going through this cycle on steroids. We're going really fast. We're in the grid moment, and I think once Bitcoin hits the break, more people will see the reality. Inside our heads, everything works really fast and you think it's beautiful, but outside the reality, it's not as fast as you think.
Yeah, I mean, things are getting crazy, that's for sure. But also, as with the speculative cycle, like a new, it's the dot-com bubble all over again. And at the end of the day, we're all on the internet. This is on the internet right now. Like it's here to stay, but the bubble, if we just put anything.com and it makes money, that's going to be over at some point. But before we move on to other stuff, I got to hit the one-time question. Sorry for that one time we got skipped over before. But basically, it's pretty basic. Hey, Joel and Rodrigo, how does Brazil's regulatory treatment and enforcement on crypto compare to other countries in Latin America?
Good question. So Brazil is the largest economy after U.S. in the entire America. It's larger than Canada, Mexico, and all the other countries combined, which is great. At the moment, there's a president in Brazil from the right movement, and it's the first time we have a president from the right movement, not a social democracy, which is social democracy, if you haven't realized yet, it's a watered-down version of socialism. That's basically what it is. So for 30 years we had our social democracy in Brazil, which is basically socialism. So now there's a lot of change. This current president is privatizing a lot of state companies. He's selling everything that he can, which is great. He's working.
Sell it all.
Hopefully he'll sell the oil company as well, because basically it was used to give jobs to politicians' families and their friends and their friends that had company dealing business with government business, so there's this movement in Brazil happening for a patriot movement growing, and I see Brazil leading the right movements and the minimization of the state in all the other countries, being Brazil the example for Colombia, for Chile, for Peru, for Argentina, where all the social democracy on those countries as well are basically socialist countries, where the state runs pretty much everything. So Brazil is pretty much far ahead and has the strongest economy, which is great. So we have a congressman, which he's been in our channel for what, five times now. He's coming back next week. We've been working closely with him for the past 4 years, helping, advising, chatting, inviting, promoting on all sides and aspects. But basically in Brazil, Bitcoin, there's no official Bitcoin and crypto in general. There's no official word from the government say, hey, it's legal tender. But all branches of the government already have their own rules. So the exchange, they must report your transactions to the IRS. You have to file crypto earnings to the IRS. The anti-money laundry branch of the government also needs to be involved. You have to pay tax on capital gains. It's just nobody from the government said, hey, Bitcoin is already a reality. We're already taxing and we see it as a property. But now, because the Constitution and this whole political party from 10 different sides, Brazil doesn't have, you know, like in the US, the left and the right. There's also the center, which is can be bought whoever is the highest bidder. And doing so, then you have majority of Congress and majority of Senate to approve those bills. But it's working slowly. We questioned this congressman about a year and a half ago when Brazil should start buying crypto as a store of value, besides legalizing and having as a legal tender. So there's also this idea into this bill as well that's coming out shortly. But the bill is basically for the government to know how much you have, where you're spending, and how much money you gotta pay them for tax.
Yeah. It's so right now it's kind of, I guess, US like in a lot of the regulatory framework and stuff. But so there's a few places, like obviously El Salvador has, you know, enforced Bitcoin specifically, legal tender kind of stuff, but also exemptions from capital gains now. I believe Panama had a law. I don't remember if I didn't keep track of like if that became a law, but I remember I believe the president was talking about it, which was be similar, but not like, not forced, also very crypto, not just a huge sweeping kind of reform. So clearly South American nations are starting to become more favorable. Do you see that kind of a movement in Brazil do you see that kind of like FOMO from Brazil of like, we're going to miss out on all the, like, you know, no offense, but like the gringo money, we're going to miss out on all the gringo money if we don't like make our tax structure and our regulatory structure better?
Well, in Brazil, it's middle class and the upper class are using crypto as a store of value, as to accumulate capital. Also, we are connected with several YouTubers that create content for crypto. We have a WhatsApp group with all of them. Combined, we have over 4 million followers. And we network basically on every single event. We exchange information. We also very connected with a couple of channels. And in Brazil, there's a lot of libertarian channels, anarcho-capitalist YouTube channels. And I see as us and those channels are the main driver of information. We are the ones educating people and telling clearly, listen, protect yourself. You might not make money, but protect yourself with crypto. That's how it works, you know, because we in Brazil, we've been through economic packages, as they say, where in next week, the president announces, by the way, the real is no longer in place. We got to implement the new real. We already have the bills printed. So if it was worth 100, now it's worth one and we're cutting the zeros. We did that five times during the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, I remember. I was in Mexico when they did the same thing with the Mexican peso, the peso crisis. And I remember, I always tell people, I remember those old peso coins my grandmother had. And it's like, what are these? They're like, they're like money, but they don't work anymore. And like,
exactly. They're just a piece of paper.
Like six, seven years old. I'm just like,
Yeah, they're like money, but they don't work anymore. They were just a piece of paper before. And now we believe they had value. Because we were the idiots believing that a colorful paper has value. You know? So that's the main thing. So that's where we are. So the level of information in Brazil is extremely open and there's a lot of high traffic. You have some YouTubers there with 200,000, 300,000 followers now talking full crypto. Next week, I'm gonna be interviewed. Oh yeah, don't forget me to remind you about to tell you about the DeFi platform we have as well. So next week, I'm gonna be interviewed by one of the YouTubers who has a crypto radio show on the largest rock and roll news station in Brazil. It's a FM radio. They have 2 million, 2 million listener per hour. So we got, I'm gonna be interviewed there next week to talk about the TV show Blockchainers. And also, I forgot to mention as well, we haven't announced anything yet, and I can't announce the name yet. But Dash Brazil, the proposed owners, they are partner with a company which is a fork of Dash, but they're building a bridge, a DeFi bridge, which is gonna be a Dash wrap on Binance Smart Chain that will allow Dash users to use that token to provide liquidity to any farm yield. It was just a way, if you have a Dash, you can wrap it and use inside Binance Smart Chain on any DeFi. So we got actually announced in a couple of weeks that one as well.
Yeah, which, speaking of Binance Smart Chain, which I'm not hugely knowledgeable on DeFi, I know a little bit. And also, Binance Smart Chain is like one of those things like, you know, XRP, like Tron, like all these, just, I don't pay attention, just no value. Like, to me, like, I don't care to pay attention to it. But I do notice that there's a lot of stuff that's on it, a lot of volume, because Ethereum's so horrendously expensive. And so, for example, I believe as of a few hours ago, the very top volume traded asset on ThorChain was either Binance, either BSC, right, or BUSD, the Binance stablecoin. And then there's, I think, higher than Ethereum was Ethereum on Binance, which is hilarious to me. It's just like, so how legitimately big is the Binance ecosystem from what you've been able to tell, and specifically in Latin America as well?
I think Binance Smart Chain is a phenomenon worldwide. I even like that meme from CZ that says, click here for all the Binance validators. And there's a picture of CZ from Binance in all of the boxes.
Yeah, of course.
I love that meme. basically, Binance is doing what Ethereum is supposed to be doing, but faster, cheaper, and a little bit more centralized. Solana is doing this even cheaper and even faster and even more centralized. They just paused the network the other day. And then you have Polygon doing this even cheaper and faster than Solana. So that's we're in the middle of the protocol wars. You know, those platforms are basically copy and paste. You get a couple nodes running. Everything is running on smart contracts. And once you have this established, you can run NFTs. You can do farming. You can do decentralized lottery with no loss. You can do provide liquidity into several pools and stake and do farming and get yield on another token and swap. So it's speed up the whole thing. For those platforms, the individual are there making money. There's a whole movement. Not a lot of people are very concerned with centralization because it's, you know, this cycle we can notice. Everything is on steroids. You know, the greed index, it's all the way high. I don't know where it's going to end. I think more and more we will have more tokens challenging each other, more platforms challenging each other. There is usability for everything, and this is just the beginning. I've been writing some articles for a portal called CoinGape. It's an Indian news website, but they also have a portal in Brazil, so I have a column there. And I'm putting together an article here now to see how many tokens we had in 2017, tokens and coins, I call it the same, right? Just the purpose of counting the number. 2017 to now this bull cycle. And it's humanly impossible to keep track. And that's why, you know, sometimes you don't see a lot of money coming from the little investor into Dash, because he can get into Binance Smart Chain, go to Pancake Swap and put $10 into a pancake syrup and earn 76% APY. You know, then you convert that token to another token, then to BUSD. But this kind of creation of value that Binance Smart Chain is creating in a turbo mode into a pretty much hyper supersonic speed mode is what is bringing them attention to a lot of regulators. And Binance has been suffering some retaliation in a lot of countries. The value of the token is growing a lot because they're doing the copy of the copy of the copy of the copy of the multiplication, the derivative, the farming, the staking of the copy of the copy inside their own little system. And people are actually withdrawing and they're using it and other people accept it. So, I mean, how can we stop this? How can we say it's wrong? It's happening.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see because, like, as I mentioned, the free market prices everything in eventually. And, like, decentralization has a value, even if the price is not priced in yet. So what I wonder is, just wondering out loud, a little off topic, I guess, but I'm just wondering from a I'm not asking because you don't know, but, like, I'm wondering when will it be that we start to see the price differential of between centralized and decentralized projects based on that, which, you know, reminds me of, like, last night I was chatting with some friends who had who were trading some Bitcoin on Mt. Gox back in the early days. And they remembered there was, like, a significant price difference between Bitcoin on Mt. Gox versus on other exchanges because of the inherent risk of, oh, is this going to go under, that was priced into the actual money. And so, like, that's what I'm wondering is, like, at what point are we going to have, let's just say, Tether start trading at a lower price than USD, for example, because people don't trust it, or the opposite, or it's more useful than USD because you don't have to use KYC, you can trade it on all the decks. Or at what point are you going to start seeing, let's just say Dash and XRP, although XRP is not doing that, but let's just imagine a centralized version of Dash, like a centralized alternative, a payment coin. At what point is that going to be, are people going to, what do they call it? Are businesses going to give you a discount if you pay with Dash over a centralized coin, for example? Like, at what point is that going to kick in? That's something that I'll always keep in the back of my head.
I think the end user will decide this, the usability mm-hmm. of the project. And we are here in the US and we've been using Crepay is one example. I mean, the app is, it's sweet. It's mm-hmm. the best way to describe that app. You know, you go to search nearby, you see which business accept Dash, you see the percentage of the discounts. You type the amount, you can even add the 10-15% for the waitress if it's a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You click pay, opens your wallet, and then goes back to the Crepay. And in 3 seconds, you have a barcode or a number to scan or to write it down. I mean, this is easy. It's a sweet app.
Yeah, so I believe so.
Very soon, you know, the user are going to be saying, hey, you know, this is too complicated. I have to do mm-hmm. too many steps. This one is easier. And that's what's going to bring usability, which we already have that. If you see the volume of Dash and transaction, small transaction, it happens more than several projects on the coin market cap that has mm-hmm. double or triple the amount of money into market cap, but has a daily volume very low. Mm-hmm. So we can see there's usability. But again, you know, I think right now, the little investor, you know, one of the things that I saw the other day, a comment that it was very interesting, you know, TikTok was one of the main drivers that pushed Dogecoin to that price. And basically it was a lot of kids who cannot open a bank account or have an account on an exchange because they're under 18 and they had 50 bucks that they got from their grandma. That's what pushed Doge price up. There was a huge campaign on TikTok. It got out of control. And then you have Mr. SpaceX there saying Dogecoin to the moon. You know, it was a perfect combination.
Irresponsibly, but yeah, whatever. He's having fun.
Well, that's the free markets. That's yes, the free of course. Market, you know? Who's going to complain? Jackson Palmer, who developed Doge? I think Jackson mm-hmm. Palmer said from the beginning, the guy disappeared. He's like, dude, this is out of control, man. This is supposed to be a joke. Are you guys out of your mind? Mm-hmm. It's working.
Yeah. Well, in fun fact, I just started a couple days ago. I started a TikTok account for this channel. So if you want to go.
I've been debating if I should start a TikTok or not.
Yeah, it's the format is the short video format is what made me go for it because Instagram Reels is a TikTok competitor, as YouTube Shorts, which I've also started using. I've been using because I can use the same thing across all of them. So follow me on Instagram and TikTok because you already follow me on YouTube probably here at digital_cash.
I can see your videos of you dancing with some song and some animation on TikTok.
Yeah. Dash will pump. No, it's not going to be that stuff. I won't degrade myself, you know, that much. But so digital underscore cash underscore network. That's the username. But anyway, once you're done with all that kind of nonsense, one question I did sort of have, which about the like Valkyrie and like the Dash Trust and an ETF and the difference between those two things as far as a structure. Now, let me preface this thing with, so I was a young kid or a young guy, and then it was like my early 20s, and then I started to migrate to crypto after that. And so the whole like being an adult investment stuff is like, it's not like I'm trying to explain to people what crypto's like, and they're like, oh, is it like a stock? I'm like, is it the same as like a stock exchange? And I'm like, I've never traded stocks. I wouldn't know that, you know? So a bunch of people are excited at these trusts and these funds and ETFs and stuff like that. So Valkyrie has a Bitcoin trust. It has a Dash trust. And now it has a Bitcoin ETF. So what is the difference between an ETF and a trust in this case? And let me just, the newbie question, let people, you know, educate the people.
Well, I cannot educate them on that because I'm not really the specialist on trust and ETF. Mm-hmm. But basically, two things. Also that we were told at the DIF, we have to be extremely careful how we promote the Dash trusts through the verbiage, especially in the state of New York and the U.S. So for this type of promotion of as an investment, us from the DIF and anybody has to be extremely careful how we use the verbiage. So I'll leave that to the to the DIF newsletter to come up with a detailed explanation of the trust. But basically, a ETF it transforms a bank into an exchange. That's the basic thing. So for example, if you want your average Joe or you know any user. The average person, you know, the guy who's retired, the lady who drives the bus, the Uber driver, whatever, to open an account, download a wallet, save the 12 key phrase, right? Make sure she has a backup of this wallet, open an account on Coinbase, do the KYC process, synchronize the bank accounts.
Yeah, no flipping away.
And then you go there, and then you have to put an order in the order book to buy the crypto, and then you buy the crypto, and then you have to transfer it from the exchange to your wallet. I mean, this is insane. A small part of people can do this. We started this a couple of years ago. We have a good understanding of this. But the average Joe, they can't follow this. So the ETF allows the average Joe to go to the bank and say, hey, bank manager, I have $10,000. I want to buy this Bitcoin thing. The bank goes there, buys it for you, charges a commission, gives you a piece of paper that says you own Bitcoin, but you cannot withdraw that Bitcoin. But you bought Bitcoin through a bank, through an ETF. That's how it works. It's a way, it's a door that allows all the big chunk of money, because then through an ETF, let's say General Electric, it wants to buy $2 billion in Bitcoin, they can do this through Valkyrie, through that ETF in 24 hours. So that's the power of the ETF. Are you buying Bitcoin? No. But are you buying a paper that says you own Bitcoin? Yes. And they have a lot of regulations. You have insurance. You have the commission from the bank, the bank manager, and all that. You're basically institutionalizing Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's cool stuff. What do you think is the prospect for a Dash ETF through Valkyrie? It's probably, if it happens, it's probably a little ways away because, you know, obviously Bitcoin's the big fish up there and they're just now getting in there. And it's like, you know, slow your expectations. But yeah, what do you think?
I think it's going to happen, a Dash ETF sooner or later, if it's through Valkyrie or maybe through some other player. Through Valkyrie will be excellent because it's a New York company and New York is the most regulated state on the planet, I guess. We did took a look into other areas of possible ETF. One of them was in Brazil as well. So there's a process we have to go through, but also requires a large volume, requires a couple million dollars investment to pay for the whole process. And that's something that we can do in a near future once there's money available in the treasury or the DIF has more funds available. That's a possibility. But yeah, it is possible, and it will come sooner or later.
Well, that's good news. So we're talking about, like, the DIF has a pretty aggressive ask this cycle, right? And I would, you know, I guess this is your time to shill and say vote for the DIF. I think so. I think you should vote for the DIF. Obviously, this is my podcast, mine alone. I can say whatever the hell I want. People can't say, why are you using DAO? I'm not. This is just me. But I think you should vote for the DIF. So I mean, maybe this is a little bit of a asking all the questions you can't answer, right? But how has the DIF performed? How has the DIF's investments performed versus Dash itself? So the DIF's gotten a certain amount of Dash since its inception. It's made a certain amount of investments. Those investments are now worth something. And I know in the case of Valkyrie, it could be 5x or something. I don't know. I have no idea what it is today. And I think that's not exactly public information anyway. But as far as, like, what price did they start buying Rune at versus where Rune is today, a few of the DIF investments have done pretty well, it looks like. On the whole, has the DIF, and obviously the DIF is there to make money, but also to make strategic investments into the Dash ecosystem. So even if it's not 100% profitable, it's not the end of the world. All that being said, how do you think the DIF is doing, the DIF investments are doing compared to if they just held on to Dash?
I think they're doing fantastic. 88i, I think, if I'm not wrong, I think it's already 3x the valuation of how much we bought. I don't have the specific numbers. Darren actually has more charts like this. Mm-hmm. As I'm not actually, I don't have any financial background. So for me, it's been actually a learning experience as well to be at the DIF and learn all this aspect. But 88i, it's already, I think, if I'm not wrong, 3x higher, because another investor came in, then another investor came in raising the valuation. Valkyrie is another example. But again, you know, how do you price the value of having a Dash ETF through a company like Valkyrie? Because we are the seed investors. And of course, whenever they can and it's possible, we'll have the priority comparing to other projects. But let's say we invest $1,000, 1,000 Dash in Valkyrie this year and now, you know, just the news of having a Bitcoin ETF and possibly having a Dash ETF in the future is worth way more than having 1,000 Dash up to that date. The main goal is to have strategic partners that can increase, because the DIF is not to buy a company and resell for more money. It's to invest in a company that will bring value to the network, if not now, in a near future.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, let's just wrap this thing up. Sure, do you, like, just, it's shill o'clock, or shill 27 rather, but it's shill o'clock. Shill everything that you want to shill. Feel free to take your time doing that. No rush to this, but yeah, shill everything you want. The floor is yours.
Oh, I have to show? What do you mean show? Just to talk?
Shill. Just promote anything you want to say. Hey, watch my channel here. Hey, vote for this thing here. Hey, there's another proposal there. Hey, the DIF is coming up with this. Looking at all that kind of stuff.
Well, the channel is in Portuguese. There in Brazil, most of my content in Portuguese, you know. But the main thing is we are keeping the brand, the Dash name, extremely relevant in Brazil with all those integrations and partnerships and TV shows and now the Crypto City, which is important. So any proposal related to Dash, guys, keep supporting. Take a look on the DIF. Just remember for the community, one example is BitFi. We've been sitting on this BitFi information since February. But there's so many legalities and technical things and marketing strategy for announcements for everything that takes time. And there's more investments that we have to announce as great, if not bigger than BitFi. And 88i and Crepe, that's already on the pipeline. So be patient, because in our head, everything works really fast, but reality Everything is goes on slow motion, especially dealing with paperwork, international transactions, investments, and lawyers, and documentation, due diligence. It's a lot. But keep supporting the diff proposals as well. There's a always one up, and keep following. Now there's we gotta be posting the newsletter every time. There's some really relevant information. I record the diff podcast with a couple other members to bring information to the community. And as you know, it's a volunteer job, so we're doing the best as we can to have as many hours as possible dedicated to this project. And we've been dedicating a lot of hours weekly, and the results are all the announcements we made for the diff this year already. So I think we have, let's see here, 88 BitFi, Crepe, Quadancy, Valkyrie, Dash Retail, Raider, and a few more to come this year. So for a small foundation to have already this portfolio set, and one of those companies, in this case, Valkyrie, is the one who launched the first Bitcoin ETF on the planet, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds pretty amazing to me. All right, so everyone go vote. First off, if you're listening to this and you have anything to do with Dash, you need to go vote. You don't need to, but come on. Voting turnout has been a little bit low these days, but, you know, that means more power. That means your one vote goes a lot further. So everyone go out there and vote. I have a proposal in right now called the Dash Marketing Hub that a few people such as Andy Freer and a few others encouraged me to start this, like, incubator fork of the Dash incubator in the marketing stuff. And I did that a few months ago. As like, and he would only sign off on it if I was the dictator, if I kind of ran the thing. And so now that we've gone through a 2-month cycle, we're putting in for a 3-month cycle, but I'm one of three. Now I'm decentralizing the role into three directors. And Pedro, who was on last podcast, is another one of them. He's a great guy. So go vote for that. I'm shilling my stuff. It's okay. And so obviously watch the Diff podcast if you're interested in that kind of stuff. Do you know what the channels are called on? I know it's on Odyssey and YouTube, and that's usually where I watch is Odyssey. But do you know what the handle is? It just Dash Invest? Is it Dash Investment Foundation or what? What is it?
Dash Invest. Let me see here on the Dash Investment. I think it's Dash Investment Foundation. Even like a Dash Investment Foundation. Yes.
Yes. So just look for Dash Investment Foundation on YouTube and Odyssey. Is it on anywhere else like Spotify and places like that, or is it just...
No, just on YouTube. I'm actually posting the link on YouTube there for you guys to take a look. Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube and Odyssey.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Yeah, so definitely.
And we're coming with the newsletter as well, because it's like a 5 minutes reading. So if whoever doesn't have half an hour to watch the podcast, we'll get the information from the newsletter.
Yeah, that's good. So yeah, just. The Dash Core group also had their quarterly call recently, which is cool. So you keep up with that. And yeah, anyway, a lot of cool stuff is happening in Dash. And that's the thing that I think has been a little, I would say for a lot of people, frustrating. I don't get frustrated that much anymore. I'm just busy with what I'm busy with, and, you know, things will happen as they go. But what I should be frustrated about, at least, is I feel that with the market cap drop and a relatively quiet marketing system, which is why, you know, the marketing hub got created, and also why Dash Core Group hired Arden to lead as a new head of marketing, take over the old Fernando role, other than like marketing, and then Dash platform evolution being freaking years late. And that plus just natural effects of like a price actually going down, and especially like, you know, all that together has left people a little bit bummed out. But and to a certain extent, there is a frustration, because a lot of really cool stuff has been happening with Dash in the last few years. Obviously, from like a technological perspective, you're like, okay, you got LLMQ based instance then, so all transactions are instant without any extra fancy stuff, which is huge. That happened in the last few years, and chain locks that happened. But then like the last couple of years, first off, the diff came around and started to actually function properly. The first iteration of the diff was a little bit of a shit show, to be honest. But then
they didn't have the beginning, the first team, they didn't have a lot of money, and without money you can't do much.
Yeah.
Now we have a little bit more money. Dash is $200, so there's more funds. But without funds, yes, the DIF was just a name, you know?
Yes. And so, I mean, obviously, a lot of cool people were involved in the first iteration as well. But, like, also, there's, you know, the mistakes of asking for the network. Should we invest in this? And then the network votes weird. It just, it was a weird situation. And now the DIF hit its stride, has been kicking ass, right? Like, I would just say kicking ass. I would say doing some good things. Like, no, it's been doing some really good things. Now, Dash Direct is the dream use case in the U.S. Venezuela, you can still use Dash in a lot of places, as we found out, because I have Juan from Dash Tech making a bunch of videos for us, like, every day, like, yep, grandmother buying dessert and all this kind of stuff. Yep. And then BitFi, it, basically, like, a lot of really cool stuff is happening. And then from a technological perspective, like, ThorChain is huge. And obviously, it's a different project. It's not Dash, but ThorChain as a Dash tool, not only letting you swap Dash for anything on a, you know, an exchange, but letting Dash become native DeFi, as in you can stake your Dash and earn on it, which is, you know, the entire, it's kind of like the trustless masternode shares hot potato people have been dealing with for forever, which, you know, might happen next year anyway. But that, it just, there's so much cool shit happening with Dash, and they're just, it's a little frustrating sometimes that all this cool stuff is happening when people are just thinking, well, nothing's going on with that. What's going on? And, like, it is what it is, but we're doing, yep, great stuff. You build a foundation, and when all the dog coins are going to zero and people are still living off of Dash, and then the DIF owns half of everything, and, you know, when that happens, like, yeah, we'll still be here.
Yeah, and related to the DIF, you know, we just need one company to pay it off. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
One company going to a $2, $3, $10, $20 billion valuation. And Dash has a stake on it. It brings a big chunk of money to either invest in other companies or send it back to the treasury for some proposals or to developing team. There's, mm-hmm, end possibilities. So Dash is securing a way to maintain itself relevant through the treasury system to its masternode voting system, and now through the DIF in a way that there's always something valuable that it's owned by the Dash network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, backed by things. And so
backed by things. It's a real company, you know?
Yeah, the strongest thing to be backed by is, of course, actual utility, which is Bitcoin brought a whole lot of that. And Dash has the same utility, I would say unrealized utility, because people aren't pricing in that Dash is exactly like Bitcoin, but more scarce and more secure on that sort of value front. That's not being priced in yet, but has a lot of other utility too. But now just having, like, it's funny because I really feel like being a, I would say, Dash maximalist, because the term maximalist, it's stupid to be a maximalist of any kind. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Other than a crypto maximalist, maybe, because, like, no, but even that anyway. But it's safer to be Mr. All in Dash today, because being all in Dash is being more diversified than it used to be. It used to be just like, oh, how's Dash doing? Oh, poor. Okay, then I lose all my money. Whereas now, your Dash is backed by companies which can do well. Like, for example, Bitcoin ETF. Who cares if Dash doesn't get one, because your Dash valuation is tied to that in a certain way.
Correct. Yeah, and it's fantastic. I mean, who would think about that? As I told in the channel this morning, I'm like, by the way, guys, the company, mm-hmm, that released the first Bitcoin or ETF or whatever, the second,
mm-hmm,
you know, Dash has a small percentage on this, you know.
Yeah.
Show me any other crypto project that's been around for 5 years that has this robust structure around.
Of course. And so, and then also, I think that, you know, everyone wanted to, like, stake Dash. Like, why would you stake Dash if you can stake other? Like, I really believe in Dash, but I don't get enough APY on my stuff. I don't get enough returns. And also, I'm kind of nervous if the price is going to keep up. Well, you know what you do? You take your Dash, and again, and pretty soon, you provide liquidity in ThorChain, because that does two things. First off, it lets you get more money, like competitive rates on your return on investment. But also, it splits your Dash half into ThorChain. And, yep, so even if no one wants Dash for whatever, even it doesn't do as well, Rune is going to do well, I think so. I really think it will. I mean, obviously not investment advice, but then you're diversified just by being all in Dash. It's kind of an interesting situation. And I remember that there used to be Dash Maximalist back in the day, where people are just like, everything's going to be built on Dash. Everything's going to run on Dash. We don't need any of these other stupid coins. And it's like, well, not only does that Dash have a more mature approach today of like, let's be in everything rather than not participate because we're going to win in the end. Yeah. It's like a less arrogant approach, but also just like being connected to so many things and being used in conjunction with so many things is, you know, it's pretty cool. But anyway,
and I even wouldn't be surprised if in 6 months we have something even better and faster than Torchain. That we gotta have Dash there as well. Torchain was the first one to pull off combining this gum of technology, providing through exchange through a safe system, like literally like decentralized safes that they have using their tokens. It's working, and someone's gotta come in with a better idea in 6 months.
Yeah. And as long as we're on top of all that, that can be really cool. And I can't wait for Dash Platform, for Dash Pay to be out, because I've used the wallet. The wallet's cool. And there's a lot of cool stuff being built by the incubator as well on that. And that's just kind of all I'll say on that. But anyway, we're concluding this thing. Thank you, everyone. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Obviously, follow the Diff stuff, too. Vote for all the cool proposals, specifically the Diff and the Marketing Hub, but also other ones that are out there if you're a voter. And now it's time for this thing we call the after party, which is just a nice conversation like this, except not recorded and not limited to just the two of us. It could be anyone who wants to join. You go to the Dash Discord, which you go to staydashy.com. I'm going to be typing that out. And you just start asking around, where is this after party? I want in the after party. I saw the after party. Where's the after? Okay. And I'll let you in. And all right. I won't be there super long, but I'll be there at some point, and there'll be the usual suspects, the usual great people. And yeah, thanks so much for being on, Rod. This has been
Thank you for inviting me. Be back another time. Let me know.
Yes. And 2 weeks from now, unless something changes, we should have Ash Francis come on the podcast, and he'll always have cool stuff to talk about. So anyway, bye everyone. Enjoy your weekend. Yeah, I'll see you around. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and donate to support the show by going to my Cointree page. That's cointr.ee/thedesertlinks, and leave a message with your donation. Check out the show's sponsors. Live on Crypto with BitRefill. Buy absolutely anything with crypto with Shop and Bit. Avoid content censorship with Odyssey. Protect your privacy online with NordVPN. Get paid to search with Presearch. All links are in the show notes.